enjoyable. Enjoy the song. I think next we need to get all their mothers up here and sing a trio. Amen. Psalm chapter 119 in their Bibles this evening. Psalm chapter 119, verse 103 is our text for tonight. How many are dessert lovers in the room tonight? Amen. What do they say? Eat dessert first. Life is short. Something to that nature. And it's worth it. It's worth it. I was talking to Brother Mel Howell this morning, and he was telling me about a friend that he had that ate healthy his whole life. And he said he ate healthy his whole life. He died before I did, some bowel disease or something that got hold of him, and he died. And all that life of healthy eating didn't help him much when he came to the end there. And that's I'm an advocate. I mean, just eat desserts, and we're all going to die anyways. You might as well die happy. Amen? Yeah. And all of you that are on the nutritious way of thinking don't like that at all. But don't worry, that's not what the message is about tonight, regardless of what the title looks like. You know, honey, I like desserts. I like any dessert that doesn't have nuts in it, pretty much. And whether it be cookies, cake, pudding, I don't care what it is. If it has a good amount of sugar in it, it's probably good. And if it doesn't have sugar in it, it's probably not that good. But honey stands out among foods as something being particularly sweet. When you think about honey, you think about a sweetness. And the sweetness that's found in a honey is a pleasant sweetness. You eat some desserts or some treats, and it's so rich, it's almost where you don't want any more. Honey is not like that. It's a taste that we enjoy that's found in honey. And the Bible tells us in the Scripture tonight, I'd like to focus on this just for a while this evening. It says, how sweet are thy words? God's Word, amen? How sweet is God's Word unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Oh, the Word of God is a sweet thing. It's a pleasant thing. And the psalmist says here, David says, oh, how sweet it is. It's sweeter than honey. Oh, it's so pleasant to my taste. I'd like to preach just for a little bit tonight, a diet of sweets. Or if you want to title it this, a sweet a day keeps the doctor away. Amen. And let's have a word of prayer. We'll jump into the message. Lord, I'd ask that you please bless. Work in our hearts. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that it's pure. We thank you that it's preserved. We thank you that we can trust it. We thank you for the help that it gives us day by day. It is a sweet thing, Lord, meaning it's pleasant. It's so beneficial for us. It's so helpful for us, Lord. Lord, truly, if we develop a diet in the Word of God, how it'll help our life, how it'll enrich our life, how it'll give us strength. Lord, I'd ask that tonight, maybe there's one here tonight in this crowd this evening that doesn't have a walk with God, that doesn't spend time on a daily basis in the Word of God. I'd ask you, please challenge that soul this evening about a walk with God. Maybe some of us have lost that sweetness in our walk. I'd ask that would be renewed. Lord, however you see to work in hearts and lives tonight, we ask that your work would be done. Give me your Spirit and your help, Lord. I want to do your work, and I ask for you, Lord. Please bless as only you can. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. David seems to be the author of Psalm chapter 119. It's the longest psalm by far. You read the other psalms and quite a long psalm there that he gives us. And David, in this psalm, he's writing later on in his life, and he's reflecting on God's Word, the position or relationship that he had with God's Word, God's law, God's commandments. And he's expressing in the psalm the delight that he has in God's Word. He expresses the delight that he has in God's work and in God's way in his life. In 9 times, the psalmist here describes God's Word as a delight in his life. He says, God's Word is my delight. It is what I look at. It's my joy. It's my rejoicing. God's Word truly was the delight to David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the man after God's own heart. And no doubt, David desired to read God's Word. David desired to study it. He desired to meditate on it. You get all this out of reading Psalm 119. If it's been a while or if you've never read through this psalm before, just straight reading through and emphasizing the Word of God's role in it, do that. And you see how much David loved God's Word. And he loved to meditate on it and think on it and follow it. Verse 97 of this psalm, he says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. He says, I love God's Word. Let me ask you, Christian, can you truly, is that your testimony where you could say, I love God's Word? It's not just a thing in my life, but I love it. I desire it. I desire to meditate on it. Psalm 103, the psalmist describes his craving for God's Word. He says, how sweet. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. That word sweet, it means pleasing. Honey, it's sweet. It's pleasing to our taste buds. It's pleasing to the tongue. And he's saying, how pleasing, how sweet the words of God are to my taste, how sweet they are to my life, how wonderful it is for me to read it, to meditate upon them, to study them. God's Word is so pleasing. It's so helpful. It's so enriching in our lives. I remember when we were growing up, we'd have our birthdays, and my mother would couple our birthdays together. We had six kids. It was cheaper on the budget to have two birthdays at a time. And so myself and my brother Josh just graduated college. He's a little bit younger than I. We'd have our birthday party together, and the family would come over. And when we would have our birthdays, my mother would ask us, she says, okay, now what would you like for your birthday? Well, my brother Josh, he was a little kid. He didn't get any say in the matter. That was wonderful about my coupling in a birthday. And so my mother would ask, she says, Kevin, what kind of dessert would you like? What would you like to have at your birthday? Without fail, every year, I said, I want eclair cake. How many have ever had eclair cake before? I mean, it'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's good stuff. It's heavenly. And every year I would say, Mother, I want some eclair cake. And Mom would have the eclair cake. I'd rather have eclair cake than any other dessert there was. Why? Because it was the most pleasing to my taste. That's what I desire. That's what I wanted. When I think of pleasing to the palate, when I think of great to the taste bud, when I think of good to the stomach, what do I think of? I think of eclair cake. And now make the mental leap tonight, make the spiritual leap tonight. David, you know what he's saying in this verse? He says, when I think of what is pleasing to my life, when I think of what is enriching to my life, when I think of what tastes good and what's good for me to meditate upon, what's so wonderful to me, he says, what I think of is I think of the Word of God. Does the Word of God play that big a role in our life where we say, if anything's pleasing, it's God's Word in my life? I'd rather taste God's Word than anything else. I read about the Christians in the New Testament, those that just had gotten saved, and the hunger and thirst that they had for the Word of God. And Paul encouraged that, and Peter encouraged that. Peter said, hey, we ought to desire the Word of God that we might grow by it. Like a babe desires his bottle. There's some with young ones in here. Our littlest one, Caleb, finally just ditched the bottle. Praise the Lord for that. We thought he was going to be in kindergarten, walking around with his bottle. Some of you parents, you guys have some kids that are still on the bottle. I guess we shouldn't use that term, on the bottle. Little addicts. But they crave that bottle. They want that milk. They desire it. Why? Because their body naturally wants to grow. And Christian, that ought to be our desire, is for the Word of God. Why? Because that's how we're going to grow in our life. Now, what makes the Word of God so sweet? We're talking about the Word of God. It's a sweet thing. David said it's a sweet thing. Why did David have such a taste for God's Word? Several reasons that David gives, reading through Psalm 119 that I gathered from David, on why he says the Word of God is so sweet in my life. Maybe the Word of God isn't sweet for you tonight, or maybe you don't see its sweetness. Maybe some of these will inspire us or encourage us to have that sweet taste. I want to ask you, as we look at these things that made the Word of God sweet to David, what makes the Word of God sweet to you? Why would you say it's sweet? We ought to have our testimony for ourselves. This is why I think God's Word is sweet to me. Let's look at a few of these tonight. Number one, the cleansing of the Word of God makes it sweet. The cleansing of the Word of God makes it sweet. It's a sweet thing to be clean. It is. Anyone like being dirty in here? Nobody likes being dirty. I remember when we went to Dominican Republic. Brother Frank, you remember working on that plumbing system out there? And they had no tools that they made available to us when we went on the mission field over there. We took a group of 17, and the missionary there said, okay, I got some plumbing that needs to be done, some drainage for a bathroom. And so Brother Frank and I think Michael Cornett and myself, we went in there to get this plumbing done, and we had, I don't know, like a saw blade or something like that to work with. I don't know that we had much else. And we're trying to do all that plumbing. It was hot. We were soaking with sweat. It was kind of miserable out and everything else. It turns out later we found out that he had a sawzall in his office and all these other tools. I'm like, what in the world? He didn't tell us about these. And we get done, and we were hot and sweaty and drenched and just felt yuck. You know how it is, working outside in the yard, and we're getting that to that time of year. Brother Rick, after working in the garden, you're just ready to go home and get a shower. And we get back to the hotel, a nice hotel that we were staying at. I was just ready to take a shower, to get clean. Something sweet about just being clean. There really is. And the Word of God cleans up a life. It cleans up the dirt and the filth that we gather from living in this world, from working around this world and everything else. And we can't help but filth gets on us. Hey, Christian, if you live in this world, filth gets on you. That's just part of it. You can't help that. You don't live in a bubble. But something about the Word of God, what it does, it washes me up. It cleans me up. It washes off that filth. It gets my mind clean. It gets my heart clean. It gets my thoughts clean. It gets my outward appearance clean. And look at what he says in verse 9. This is the first thing David says about his Word, God's Word, that makes it sweet. He says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" How's a man going to clean up? How's a woman going to clean up? He says, "By taking heed thereto according to thy Word." By getting in God's Word, that's how you clean up. It's like a shower for the Christian. Hey, Christian, are you struggling with sin? Are you struggling with temptation? Are you struggling with the lust of this world? You know the best way to solve that? Get in the Word of God. The Word of God is the shower for the Christian. You say, "Well, I don't understand everything I read when I read the Bible." You won't understand everything. It takes time to learn and grow in the Word of God and to study it, but get in it. There was an old farmer that had a strainer. As he cleaned out his barn, he found this old strainer. And he said to the helping hand that he had with him, he said, "Go take this down in the creek and go fill it up with water, bring it back." And it was dusty and cobwebs and dirt all over it and just nasty old thing. And so the helping hand kind of looked at the farmer strangely, thinking, "You know, this is a strainer. I'm not going to bring a whole lot of water back with it." Went down to the creek and filled it up with water. And by the time he got back, of course, you know what happened. It was empty. And the farmer said, "Okay, now go bring it back again. Fill it up again, bring it back." And he did that two times more. He comes back to the farmer. He says, "Sir, I don't mean to be, you know, mean or bad or anything, but I'm not getting a whole lot of water in the strainer." He says, "But look at it." He kind of looked at the strainer. He says, "It's a lot different than it was the first time that you brought it down to the creek, isn't it?" He said it didn't contain everything that it picked up, but it sure made it cleaner the more that water ran through it. I might not pick up everything in this book, but when I get my face in this book and I begin to read and study it, I'll be a whole lot cleaner in my life as a result. I might not hold on to everything, but the water of His Word is going to wash through me, and oh, how it's going to clean me. David, after sin in his life, found cleansing through God's Word. The power of positive thinking does not even compare to the power of God's Word. "Well, I can beat this temptation. I can beat this sin. If I really put my mind to it." No, you need God's Word. The Bible says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth." The way that we get sanctified, we get set apart, we get sin out of our life, He says it's through this book right here. God's truth is what's going to clean us up. The Word of God is sweet to the taste. Why? Because it cleans our lives. And oh, it's good to be clean. Let me say, secondly, the protection of God's Word makes it sweet. The cleansing, but then the protection of God's Word. Not only is the Word of God something that will clean us up, but it will keep us clean if we stay in it. Look at verse 11. He says, "Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." So it's going to clean up our act, but then it's going to keep us out of sin if we stay in God's Word. Hiding God's Word in our heart protects us from going back to sin. Staying in this book protects me from diving back into what I just got out of. We're creatures of habit. Proverbs tells us the dog returns to his vomit. You ever see that happen? I mean, that's disgusting. See a dog that vomits up and he goes back and he begins to eat that. I don't mean to be crude tonight, but a lot of times as Christians, that's what we do. We get rid of something and then we go right back to it. And many times, more filthy than what it was the first time. You say, "How do I keep from doing that?" Hey, it's God's Word. God's Word is protection in our life. You've heard the statement before, either this book will keep you from sin or sin will keep you from this book, and that's just the God's honest truth. It's going to keep us from sin if we'll get in it. The Bible will protect our marriage. The Bible will protect our family. The Bible will protect our testimony. The Bible will protect our holiness if I'll get in the Bible. If we get in the Bible will keep us out of the pig pen of life. don't put your family in the world. Get your family out of the world. Put the Bible in your family. That's what we need. Put the Bible in your marriage. Put the Bible in your life. Had David been in God's Word during the time that the kings went forth to war, I have no doubt that David would not have fallen into sin. Something was a misconnect there. This protection that we see received from the Word of God is not some mystical protection either. Hey, I read a verse, and so now the devil can't do anything to tempt me today. I'm good to go. It's not some type of mystical protection where I checked off my Bible reading list, and so because I read some black words on a white page, I'll be all right. Verse 125 in Psalm 119 here, he says, I am thy servant. He says, give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. You see, we must not just read God's Word, but we must read it to receive it. If it's going to provide that protection in my life, I got to read it to get something out of it. I can't just read it to check off my checkbox. Hey, I read God's Word. I'm a good Christian now today. Because that's not going to keep me from sin. What keeps me from sin is when I receive something from this book on a regular basis. When God speaks to my heart. Don't read to read, Christian. Read to receive. Read to receive. Well, I'm going to read through my Bible once every month. I'm going to get through it. You could do that, but if you don't get anything out of it, it doesn't help you a whole lot. I'd rather you take 3 years to read your Bible through, but get something from it every time that you read it. Let God speak to your heart. Meditate on it. We must look to follow what God gives us from His Word then too. Once again, it's not mystical. It's not, hey, I read God's Word, I'm in a safe zone. No, I've got to read it to receive, and then I've got to apply what I've read. And that is what will keep me from sin. That is my protection. Number three, why is it sweet? Why is the Word of God sweet? It cleanses, it protects. He says the strengthening of the Word of God makes it sweet. Look at what David says in Psalm 119, verse 28. David says here in verse 28, he says, my soul melteth for heaviness. David had some heavy times, did he not? I mean, David's running from Saul at times in his life. David's running from his enemies. David's in war. David's losing children. David's in rebellion. David had heavy times, and he says, my soul melteth for heaviness. During those times, his soul, his inward man, felt like it was going to melt, like it was going to pass away, like it was going to shrivel up and die. But look at what he says, the rest of that verse, strengthen thou me according unto thy word. God, give me strength unto thy word. His strength, the inward man is weak, but the inward man receives that strength from the Word of God. Sometimes the flesh seems a lot stronger than the spirit, doesn't it? Or maybe it's just my flesh. But sometimes it seems like the flesh is a whole lot stronger than my spirit is. And the inward man seems weak, and maybe the burdens of life become heavy, and the difficulties of life become many. And our soul within us seems like it's just going to melt, like, God, I don't know that I can carry these anymore. But understand, God strengthens us through His Word. You remember that verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I love this verse. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Well, help me out. Christ is the Word of God in flesh. I can do all things through Christ. Where am I getting that strength from? Christ? It's not some mystical way. This is Christ in word form. He's going to strengthen me, but I got to get in His book. What gives us strength? The strength to the Christian to do right? What gives a Christian strength through the difficult times? What gives the strength to the Christian to lead his home or lead in his life? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. David knew what difficulty was. David knew what problems were. He knew what trials were. But he also knew the strength that God's Word would give him. Christian, why is the Word of God so sweet? Because this is something that provides strength. You're going through the difficult time. This is something that's going to strengthen you. It will. Once again, I got to get in it to receive. To receive. David compares that Word of God with honey. Something about honey. Something about its components. Honey provides you strength. I remember when we were kids, my dad would tell us a story. I don't know if it was true or not. My dad would tell us stories that when he was playing hockey, he played some minor league hockey. And they would get ready to go play hockey. They would take a spoonful of honey. And they would eat that spoonful of honey right before getting on the ice. And that would give them an extra burst of energy and strength out there. So when we were kids, I mean, we were down in mom's honey like it was no business. We were eating spoonfuls. Man, I'm going to have super strength out there on the ice. Something about honey, though, it does give that energy. It does give that strength. It has a natural quality in it. The Word of God, though, is sweeter than honey. And it provides a much greater strength than any physical thing can. Hey, Christian, you ever weak in the flesh? Well, God says, hey, I can provide a strength for you. And that strength is in the Word of God. Oh, it's a sweet thing. David says also, he says, the comforting of the Word of God makes it sweet. The comforting. In the times of pain and grief and distress, God's Word provides that comfort. That friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And my, how that friend shows up when I'm having my time with God. That walk with God. He's a comfort. He's an encouragement. Look at what David says in verse 50. Maybe some of you can relate to this verse. If you have a walk with God and have been through the valleys of the shadow of death in your life, he says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. It's made me alive. He says, God's word has been my comfort in my affliction. People run to God's word in affliction, or people run away from God's word in affliction. One of two things. Some people understand, hey, I need God's word. Look here. Some people say, no, I'm running from all that. We've got to run to God's word in affliction. We've got to run to God's word in time of trials. Our greatest comfort is in God's word. And to be honest with you, a majority of people don't try to find their comfort in God's word. That's where it needs to be. Through our times of loss, God gives us comfort. Hey, Psalm 23, Hebrews 13, 5. And we could go on down the list. So many scriptures, so many verses there that would provide comfort for us if we'd be in God's Word. Number five. What else makes God's Word sweet? The hope of the Word of God makes it sweet. The hope. Look at verse 92, if you would. Verse 92, are you there? You got a few more there? All right, let's look at it. 92. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in my affliction. He says, I would have perished, I would have gave up, I would have quit if it wasn't for the hope that I found in God's Word. Hey, when we are discouraged, when we do feel like we're going to quit, like we're going to give up, like we can't take another step, well, when it seems like there's no way that there's sunshine ever anymore in the future, it says God's Word is what gave me hope for my tomorrow. That there's hope past this storm in my life. That there's still a hope for the future. Our affliction causes us to consider giving up. But God's Word is filled with promises of God. This book right here is filled with promises of God that says, hey, God is still on the throne and God is still faithful. He has not left us. He has not forsaken us. And when I read this book, all of a sudden I come across a promise when I'm going through that depressing time in my life where God doesn't give up. God is still on the throne and He's still working on my life. I realize, hey, there's still hope for tomorrow. I don't need to give up. There's hope. And that hope is sweet in my life. Oh, hope is a sweet thing. Many Christians perish in the work of God. Many shrivel up spiritually because of trials. The problem is there's no sweet word of God in their diets. And the Christian will drop out of the race if he's not getting a diet of this book. Why? Because he falls in this hole and he says, there's no hope for my life. There's no hope for tomorrow. I might as well give up. Why try another day? But when I'm in this book, God's able to encourage me through His Word. There must be a relationship with Christ while sailing through the storm. There must be. I got to be on the ship with Christ. I got to be in His Word. Number six, look at this one. I like this one. The teaching of the Word of God makes it sweet. The teaching of the Word of God. And all these things, they might apply in a different way to somebody's life. You might identify with more of the fact that through the afflictions, He's that encouragement and comfort because you've been through some tough afflictions. Some might identify with the God. We all identify in a different way, but it ought to be sweet. Look at what he says about the teaching of the Word of God. The wisdom and instruction God's Word gives every day in our life is amazing. There's no book more practical than the Bible. Hey, Christian, there's no book out there more practical than the Bible. And I'm for reading. In fact, our Sunday school next week is on studying, and we ought to be readers. Readers are good books and biographies that will help us. But there is no book substituting the Word of God. There's no book to substitute it. From time to time, somebody will say, well, for my devotions, I'm reading such and such books. Hold on, time out there for a second. Never substitute the Bible for somebody else's book for your devotions. You can read it aside, that's great. But don't read somebody's book on the Bible instead of reading the Bible. The Bible is what I need. That's the book. That's the most practical book there is. No book gives more teaching about relationships than this book right here. No book gives more teaching about the workplace and our careers than this book right here. No book gives more teaching about the family and the home than the Bible. No more teaching on finances than the Bible does. I mean, every area of our life, this is the most practical book that we have. This is the best teaching that any one of us can have. Psalm 119, verse 98, look at what God says here, or David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says about God's Word. He says, "Thou, through thy commandments, had made me wiser than mine enemies." Hey, don't you want to be wiser than your enemies? It's not a good thing to be more foolish than your enemies, right? If you want to win on the top, you've got to be wiser than the enemy. Look at what else he says. "For they are ever with me. I have more understanding." Students, hey, young people, you like this one. David says, "I have more understanding than all my teachers." Why? "For thy testimonies are my meditation." Look at this last one. "I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts." He's even the gray-headed. He says, "I have wisdom, not because of who I am, but because of the Word of God." Why is the Bible sweet? The Bible is sweet because of the wisdom that it imparts to us. Hey, you need wisdom? You need teaching in different areas of this life? The Bible will give it to us all. He'll give us teaching in every area. Herbert Hoover said this about the Bible: "There's no other book so various as the Bible, nor one so full on concentrated wisdom." This book is full of wisdom. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Every area of our life, God has something to say from this book, and it'll help us. It's sweet. Number seven, the guidance of the Word of God makes it sweet. The guidance. Look at 105, verse 105 in Psalm 119. David says about the Word of God here, he says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, at first glance, it seems like David's just repeating himself. David, why'd you say twice that God's a light? No, there's some meaning to there. The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet. A lamp. What do you turn on, ladies, at night in the room to shed a little bit of light to that room? You turn on the lamp. The lamp doesn't necessarily have a brightness for everywhere. The lamp lights a little bit of space. He says, "A lamp unto my feet." God's Word is guidance and direction for that day, my steps that day. It's going to help me today to guide me on the right path. And then he says, "And a light unto my path." That light is something that shines a little bit brighter, a little bit fuller. It lights away a little bit more. He says, "It's a light unto my path, my future." Not only will it give me guidance for today and the steps that I need to take today, but it will give me guidance for my future steps with the path that I need to go in. Hey, every day we're making choices, aren't we? Some of them are simple choices, like what you wore today. Other of them are major choices. Young people, who you're going to marry. The career that you're going to pursue in your life. We're making big purchases, or we're making decisions about our marriage, or we're making decisions about our family. We're making decisions about ministry. I mean, there's so many things financially and spiritually and physically that we're making. And he says, "Hey, I got guidance for all of it. This Word will be a lamp to your feet and a light unto your path." But once again, I got to get in it. It's not going to glow mysteriously and give me that light mysteriously. I got to get in God's book. Oh, it's a sweet thing. George Washington Carver, you all have heard that name, right? The guy, something with the peanut. I don't like him much. But he was very successful. He said, "The secret of my success is simple. It is found in the Bible." And then he quoted the verse, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." A man of success, great success, says, "Hey, my success comes from the Bible." And it will. If we let God give us guidance from this book, our life will be a success. Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but I shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest learn to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." If we listen to God's Word, it'll give us that guidance that we need for everyday decisions, parenting, marriage, ministry, labor. It's funny, and we've all been there before, right? Christians like to throw the fleece out on the ground. We like to look for the wet and dry fleece. And that's going to be my guidance in my life. We like to look for the sun going back 10 degrees or 15 degrees. That's going to be my guidance in my life. Can I say God wrote us a book to give us guidance? I don't need a fleece to give me guidance. I don't need the sun moving one direction or another to give me guidance. They didn't have the book back then. But I got a book today that's going to give me guidance. Oh, it's a sweet thing. God put together a manual for us. It's sweet if we'll get in. Now, number eight, the peace of the Word of God makes it sweet. Peace is sweet, isn't it? We live in a day and an age, everybody's saying, hey, peace, we want world peace. We know something about world peace, it's just not coming. Until the Prince of Peace comes, this world is going to know no peace. But we can have peace in our life, amen? Look at what he says in Psalm 119, 165. David says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. He says, when the Christian is in the Word of God, what will it do? It'll give us peace to our hearts, to our minds, and to our lives. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Once again, it's not a check-marking thing. Well, I read my Bible today, so I should have peace in my life. But that love thy law, that get in it, look to search from it, look to apply to their life. They have a love for God's Word, a relationship with the book. He says there's peace as a result. Hey, you got a problem with worry? Get in God's Word. Develop a love for it. It's sweet. It'll give you peace. You have frets in your life? Anxiety? Get in the Word of God. It gives a peace when we get in God's Word. Great peace have they that love thy law. You have a problem with strife? Get in the Word of God. You have a problem with being offended? Get in the Word of God. You know what he says right here? He says, nothing shall offend them. You know what that means? If I have a proper relationship with this book right here, there's nothing going to offend me. That means that Brother Mike, man, he could just curse me a blue streak. And man, he's a Christian and he ought to know better. And how dare he do that? But if I love this book like I ought to, I'm not going to let it offend me. Well, I'm not going ever back to that church. One of the deacons, can you believe what they did? I'm not saying it's right. There's a lot of things that Christians do that aren't right. Hey, there's a lot of things that you and I do that are not godly. Let's be honest tonight. And we get offended because somebody does something that they ought not do. Oh, we're guilty. The Bible says if we get in this book, nothing shall offend me. Children, relationship to parents, nothing shall offend you if your book is right, or if your relationship with the book is right. Christian, nothing shall offend you if your relationship with this book is right. You know why? Because if my relationship with this book is right, my eyes are on Christ, not people. You know, the pastor can miss shaking your hands, and you'll still not be offended. It'll be amazing. Your birthday will get missed in the bulletin, and you won't be offended. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy the little things of such unimportance that we get offended over, and so many times it gets the Christian out of the race. We get offended over the smallest and the dumbest things sometimes. And I remind us, it's the devil. Remember, the devil wants us to be offended because he wants us to be out of the race. When we are in the Word of God, though, offense doesn't come because God gives His peace. How sweet it is not to live offended, bitter, or with a chip on our shoulder. That sweetness comes from the Word of God. Number nine, look at this. We're about done here. I got two more. I didn't tell you I had 10 because you would decide to begin with. The hunger for the Word of God makes it sweet. What makes the Bible so sweet? Look at verse 18. David says this. He says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. One of the major reasons that David viewed the Bible as so sweet, the Word of God is so sweet, is because he hungered so much for it. He developed a hunger, a thirst for God's Word. The Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God wants us to have a hunger and a thirst for Christ. Amen? You ever been hungry right before a meal? You get hungry enough, it doesn't matter what the meal is. It might be goulash, it still tastes well. Amen? Enough hunger will make anything taste good. It truly will. And Christian, you said, man, but the Word of God is so hard to read sometimes, or this or that. If we will develop a hunger in our life, it'll be sweet to us. You say, Pastor, how do I develop a hunger? I don't feel like I really have a hunger for God's Word. The problem with having a hunger is if you fill up on something else, then your hunger is no longer there. And David gives reference to this. I'll look at that in a second. But when you fill up with the world, you won't have a hunger for the Word. I mean, when you fill up with the world's trashy music, you're not going to have a hunger for the spiritual Word. When you fill up with the world's trashy TV, you're not going to have a hunger for it. I just don't desire it. I don't understand why. Are you filling up on trash? I mean, when I fill up on Oreos before dinner time, ask my wife. I mean, I'm not in a hungry mood. But if I'll keep my hunger, man, that chicken sure tastes sweet, even if it isn't all that it ought to be. Ooh, ouch. That's going to hurt later. I love you, sweetie. Happy Mother's Day. Hey, if I fill up on all the lust of this world, the world's not going to be sweet to me. If I fill up on the junky communication through social media, this world's not going to be, it's not going to be sweet to me. There's so much out there that can grab our attention that we can feast upon, that soaks up our hunger. And then when it comes to the Bible, it's just like, well, you know what, I'm okay, I can pass by it today. But when we really have a hunger and a thirst, we say, no, I can't pass by it. I need that. When the Christian feeds his flesh until he's full, he'll have no desire for the Word of God. The wrong diet is going to rob the Christian for something that's so sweet in our life. Say, Pastor, I have no desire for the Word of God, it seems like right now. Quit robbing that desire with the trash. Understand there's something sweet out there. One must cut out the junk food if I'm going to have a desire for that which is healthy and beneficial in my life. Look at what he says in verse 36. He says, incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Look at this. And not to covetousness. Hey, David even had a problem with this. He said, oh God, would you set my heart upon God's word and not upon covetousness? He says, God, would you set my heart upon your word rather than the world? And that's our fight, Christian. That's our fight. If I'm going to keep my desire right for the word of God, I'm going to have to fight the things of this world and the lust of this world and say, no, I'm not going to have a taste for that. I'm going to have a taste for the word instead. When you go to change over what your taste is for, your palate, if it already has a taste for the world, it'll take some time to change over. You start cutting out that filth in your life, it'll take a little bit of time to develop that taste. Hey, you remember broccoli? As a kid, you hated it. And then an adult, you hated it. No, you developed a taste for it, maybe. There's some things in life, that palate, it has to be developed. It doesn't come naturally. But it's still good for you. And the Bible is the same way sometimes. When we have a taste for this world, our palate has to be changed. It has to be cleansed, and it takes time. But if I'll get in this book, it'll get there. I just have to determine I'm going to get in this book, and I'm going to cut out these things that are going to hinder that. How bad do we want the sweetness of the Word of God? How bad do you want it? You want it bad enough to cut out the junk food? It's like the person that decides they're going to lose weight. How bad do you really want to lose weight? Bad enough to cut out the junk food. If it's not that bad, you're not losing any weight. And the same is true with the Word of God. How bad do we want that desire? I got to be willing to cut some things out that are not beneficial to that desire. Let me give you the last one. We'll be done. Number 10, what makes the Word of God so sweet? The main ingredient of the Word of God makes it sweet. Ladies, you bake things. What you put in, whatever you're baking, is what develops the taste, right? I'm not much of a baker, so I'm not going to try to give an illustration. I don't know what you put in that stuff. But I do know one thing. I know if you put honey in something, it makes it sweet, amen? Well, what's the main ingredient of the Word of God? John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You say, Pastor, what's the main ingredient that makes the Bible so sweet? It's Christ. From cover to cover, you know what you find? You find Christ. The theme of this book is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the sweetest thing we know. Oh, it's the sweetest name. He's the sweetest Savior. He's the sweetest thing that's ever walked the face of this earth. One will find Christ in every book of the Bible. And that is what makes the Word of God sweet. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say here in this one? As we develop a relationship with God's Word, you know what you're developing? You're developing a relationship with Jesus Christ. If I'll get in this book, I'll get to know Christ. I'll know more about Him. I'll be closer to Him. And oh, what a sweet thing it is to be close to Christ. It doesn't get any sweeter than Him. Should we pass up on something as sweet as Christ? Hey, every day is an opportunity to taste on something sweet, Jesus Christ. Do we pass it up? Hey, does this book sit on the bookshelf Monday through Saturday waiting for Sunday to come? Christ is that main ingredient, and we can get close to Him, but we pass it by. We got a sweet Savior, and He wants that fellowship with us. But I got to take time for Him. Don't let it sit untouched. The Word of God is so sweet. Psalm 19, verse 10, David also wrote this. He said, "More to be desired are they than gold." Talking about God's Word, God's commands. "Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." But what do you say? What do you say to somebody that's never tasted that dessert that you think is the greatest dessert on the face of this earth? You know what we all say. Well, you got to try it. Hey, you don't know how good it is till you try it. Can I say tonight, if you don't know how sweet this book is, you got to try it. It's more to be desired than gold. It's sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. And if you don't know how sweet this is, can I say you got to get in? You got to start feasting on God's Word. Start falling in love with God's Word. Hey, it's God's love letter to us. Get in it. Study it. Something about honey. We're about done. It only takes a little bit of honey to taste its sweetness and to get its strength. There's a story in the Bible in 1 Samuel. And it talks about Jonathan and Saul going to war. I don't know if you remember that. Saul was going to war with Israel. And as they were going to war, he told the people, he said, "You're not allowed to eat anything." And Jonathan wasn't with Saul at the time. In fact, him and his armor bearer were a bit too busy winning a war while Saul was back there with the people. And Saul says, "Hey, I don't want anybody eating anything until this war is completed. And if somebody tastes anything, eats anything in their mouth, they got to die." And so he makes that law, he makes that decree. And Jonathan, in the meanwhile, he's out with his man, and they're winning the war. And then the rest of the men go with them, and they're running through the woods. And all of a sudden, he sees some honey in the woods. Long story short, they're all passing up the honey. And Jonathan sees that honey, and he's weary, he's worn. They had been fighting for hours upon hours. They were worn out, they were ready to collapse. And Jonathan sees that honey, not knowing his dad's command, and he says, "Oh, man." And he takes some of that honey and he puts it in his mouth. The Bible says his eyes were enlightened. That honey is what gave him strength. That honey is what gave him encouragement. That honey is what gave him the ability to keep going on. It was exactly what he needed for that moment. And eventually Saul found out what happened. He got mad at him. And the Bible tells us, it says, "Then said Jonathan, 'My father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey.'" Oh, what a little bit of a sweet thing did. You know, the Christian doesn't need to consume a ton of God's Word in order to taste its sweetness, nor to get the strength that they need every day. You don't need to spend 15 hours in the Bible, nor even 5 hours in the Bible, to receive a little bit of sweetness every day. Hey, Christian, a little bit of God's Word, just a little bit of that honey every day. A little bit of strength, a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of that peace that day, a little bit of protection, a little bit of cleansing. You know, the Bible tells us, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." You say, how in the world do I get all of God's words to live by? You're not going to get them all in one day or one month or even in one year. But I get a little bit every day. A little bit of honey every day. A diet of sweets. This morning, did you wake up? Did you have a little bit of sweetness this morning? Did you have a little bit of sweetener? Did you have your sweets today? And the kids will like that. They need their sweets today. A diet of sweetness every day will make a Christian sweeter every day. It'll make our relationship sweeter every day. It'll make our Savior sweeter to us every day. It'll make our spirit sweeter every day. I ask us tonight, why is the Word of God sweet to you? Is it sweet to you? Why don't we make it sweet? Make it sweet. If there's anything that God wants His people in His book. That's what He desires. That's why He gave it to us. Why go through all the time and effort if He didn't care if we were in this book or not? He wouldn't have. The Bible asks the question, when the Lord comes back, is He going to find faith on this earth? Is He going to find the Christian faithful to eating a little bit of His Word every day? Just a bite. Just take out the sweetener. Just something that keeps us going on our journey through this life. A little bit of honey Christian, a little bit of honey will make all the difference in your world. Why don't you decide, I'm going to have a little bit of honey every day. Let the Word of God work in my life. Heads bowed and eyes closed. A sweet a day keeps the doctor.